You will notice on the following pages there will be highlighted in bold print some of the rich treasure that's in those that I found, at least. I'm going to start reading then on the eighth verse there on page 1 of Acts 26, as he was sharing with King Agrippa. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness into light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may be receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showest first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews came, caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Jesus should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people." Now, the Apostle Paul, when you study his life and when you read the scriptures that he has written throughout the New Testament, which contains so many books that he has written, you knew that he found the rich treasure. And he treasured up the words as he studied. You knew so many of the things that he taught were from the Old Testament. He had scriptures that he would actually read and actually would explain to the people as he was sharing the gospel with them. And we know that as you look at that scripture, sometime sit down and just analyze the scripture that I just read to you and note the treasure. You know, that what he was doing was totally opposed to what God would have him do. I mean, he was gathering up the saints, putting them in the arenas, were killing them off, and was happy about it. But we know when he met the rich treasure, Jesus, we know his life was never the same. And he was willing to lay down his life for those that had not heard the gospel. And you know, one of the things that he had to go through in his life, and you know, I've met people, and you've met people too, I'm sure, who have, you know, perhaps who were druggies, or perhaps who were alcoholics. And it's really difficult, you know, for them to explain how they have changed. They remember him as he was or as she was, you know, but, you know, after they've learned to listen and to know really what has happened in this person's life, you know, they notice this tremendous change because these individuals have not only met the rich treasure, but they treasured up his words. You know, I always enjoy the Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace. We all know that, I think. Why don't we sing the first verse? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but I see. And you know, you see the second item there on page 2. What about John Newton? You know, on his tombstone are these words. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, and pardoned, appointed to preach the faith he once sought to destroy. You know, he was in charge of gathering slaves, putting them on the ship, and bringing them to England. But he found the rich treasure. And that's why when he wrote the words to Amazing Grace, he knew what the depth was to that treasure. And we know that he wanted people to know, as is recorded on his tombstone, what he was, but also what he had become. Did any of you know Johnny Ray, Elder Johnny Ray? He was very, very active in the church for a number of years and was one of the founders with Brother Skip Robinson and I of the Hill Cumorah Congregation in Independence. Brother Johnny had a dream. And, you know, people have shared dreams, I'm sure, with you many times, and they really would like to know sometimes if they haven't figured out exactly what it was all about. And Johnny came to me and asked me if I would listen to his dream. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And we had prayer and so forth. And he shared that he was walking through life and he was kind of carrying a tray like you would see a waitress or a waiter carrying a restaurant with food on it. And he said as he was walking through life, he was taking things off of that tray and giving to different people along the way as he was walking through life. And he said, you know, I really don't know what's all going on there. He said, but that's what I was doing. And he said, did that for up to a lot of people that really apparently needed help or something. But he said, you know, then all of a sudden there appeared to me, and he says, I'm not sure if this was heaven or where it was, but he said there was a whole lot of people there were just rejoicing when I came into this room. I said, well, Johnny, that's what you've been doing during your life. You've been carrying the gospel, and you've been sharing bits here and there with people as you're walking through life. And I said, you know, the 16th section of the Doctrine and Covenants tells us how blessed it is if we bring one soul unto me, but more blessed are you if you shall bring many souls. And I said, that large group of people were those many souls that you brought unto him that have greeted you in the heavenly realms. And he said, that's it. That's it. And I praise God for that, because it is so true that as we go through life, as we treasure up the words, you know, we know that his kingdom is ours forever. And we know that kingdom is ours forever because we treasure up those words. And in Matthew 13, in the verse 46, we'll start there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in the field. And when a man hath found a treasure which is hid, he secureth it, and straightway for joy thereof, notice that word, for joy thereof, goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which When it is full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, and the world is the children of the wicked. And I don't know if you can read this or not, if the copy did a good job on that or not, but I wrote in here, God is constantly making treasured deposits in our lives so that we can make deposits in heaven. I believe, brothers and sisters, I'm going to pick on Brother Ron over here, because I like to pick on him. But anyway, Brother Ron, I really believe with all of us, you brothers and sisters, you're going to be truly amazed to see when your book of life is opened and you see things. It says that everything is recorded there. You know, we know that our sins are blotted out, but I believe all the rich treasure will still be there. The things that we have taught people, the names perhaps of those that have been touched, that our lives have changed, and we don't get the glory. We know we don't get the glory for that. It's like when I administer to people, and you elders, I would suggest this to you. When you administer to people, relate to them not to tell anyone who administered to you. Because when there's a blessing comes to them, the following Wednesday night at prayer service, well, Jack and Eric Baker administered to me, and guess what happened? Well, who gets the glory? We want the glory to go to God, don't we? Because there's nothing wrong, you know, with sharing names, don't get me wrong, but I think we need to be careful that we're not pointing people to Jack or to Eric or to anyone else here, Justin. We're pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where they're going to find the rich treasure. And then we are constantly making deposits of treasure, either in the kingdom or in the world. And section 6 is such a marvelous section. As you all know, the Latter-day Scripture, I just marvel. I'm not bragging about this, but I started last year. This is 2015. I started reading the Bible all the way through, and then I read the Book of Mormon all the way through, and I'm in the process now of reading the Doctrine and Covenants all the way through. And I'll tell you, you know, every morning when I read, there's just something that you pick up in that word. And, you know, it stays with you. God plants it in your heart. Isn't that what it says in Jeremiah 31:31? The time will come when they shall not be taught any more, because all these things will be written on their hearts. They shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, people will know, those that are with him, that all these things will be written on their heart. And a great and marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed unto my words, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joints and marrow. Therefore, give heed unto my words. Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. There's a treasure there, isn't there? Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might, and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. A whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask of me, you shall receive. There's another treasure. If you ask of me, you shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now I'm going to skip down a ways here, because if you wouldn't mind reading, I printed all of this out because I wanted to make sure that we had the fullness of it. Starting with 4b, say nothing but repentance unto this generation, keep my commandments, and assist to bring forth my work according to my commandments. and you shall be blessed. Behold, thou hast a treasure. No, it says gift, doesn't it? And blessed art thou because of thy gift. Remember, it is sacred. How are we handling our gifts, brothers and sisters? Do we look at our gifts as being sacred? And I'm picking on Eric right now. But you know, Brother Eric has a gift. And when we have our priesthood gathering, why, he starts the songs. And you know, I really appreciate that, because that's maybe doesn't seem such a big gift to a lot of people, but you know, we need to start out, don't we, right? We need to start out together in singing. It's a gift that we all are united together. And one voice starts, but all other voices join in with that gift. Remember, it is sacred and cometh from above. And if thou wilt inquire, thou shalt know my mysteries, which are great and marvelous. And the mysteries also are rich treasure. If you ever want to do a wonderful study, just start looking through the scriptures and look up that word mystery, the mysteries of the kingdom. And they're not something that God is trying to hide. It's something that God is trying to reveal. That what seems to be hard for you to understand, all of a sudden it's no longer hard to understand. It's no longer a mystery. Like he says about the gift of marriage, of the relationship with Jesus and the church. He said it's a great mystery. But you soon find out, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, you soon find out the great mystery is the relationship that you have with your wife. Because it's type and shadow of Jesus' relationship with the bride and the groom, the church. Therefore thou shalt exercise, there we go. Thou shalt exercise thy gift, that thou mayest find out mysteries, that thou mayest bring many to the knowledge of the truth. One of the reasons why, isn't it, is that we are able to bring many to the knowledge of the truth, yea, convince them of the error of their ways. You know, one of the greatest things that has happened in my life is my brothers and sisters who really love me, they let me know my mistakes. And I really appreciated that. You know, my dad and my mom were, my dad particularly was a very strict disciplinarian. And I'll never forget running one time from my mother. This is back in the, when my dad made our own shoes, by the way. He'd take old tires and put those on the, for our soles. But anyway, I was running away from my mother because I knew I was going to get punished. She kicked off her wooden shoes and to get gain a little more speed, you know. But I still was able to run faster. And then she said, I'm going to tell Dad. And boy, the brakes came on real fast, you know. Because, you know, they stood together. They stood together. They supported one another. And isn't that a rich treasure? To have that oneness in a family. That Tiffany is going to support Austin. And Austin's going to support Tiffany in their discipline of their family. If they're not both there together to do the discipline. But you know, we support one another in that way. But remember, it is sacred and cometh from above. Down to exercise thy gift, that thou mayest find out the mysteries, that thou mayest bring many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, convince them of the error of their ways. Make not thy gift known unto any, save it be to those who are of the faith. In other words, we need to be careful, don't we, about who we share the gifts with. Because I remember when I first came into the church, I'll tell you, I used to break horses on our farm whenever they would grow up to be old enough so we could ride him, but I soon learned to take him out to the plowed field because it was easier landing in the plowed field if he got thrown off. But my point here is the fact that, you know, when I would first was so on fire with this gospel that I just could not keep my mouth shut. And I would tell people, and they would practically run away from me because they didn't want to hear. They weren't ready to hear it, and I was ready to tell them the whole story. And, you know, we need to be careful that to really realize where people are at, don't we, as far as their relationship with the Lord is concerned, before we give them the whole wagon load, so to speak. We need to sometimes just start out with this. Well, the only thing I can think of right now is the appetizer, right? We start out with the appetizer to draw them into the fellowship and so forth. Exercise a gift that thou mayest find out mysteries, that thou mayest bring many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, convince them of the error of their ways. Make not thy gift known unto any, save it be those who are of the faith. Trifle not with sacred things. If thou wilt do good, yea, hold out faithful to the end. Thou shalt be saved in the kingdom of God, which is the greatest of all the gifts of God. For there is no greater gift than the gift of salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, blessed art thou, for thou hast done. For thou hast inquired of me, and behold, as often as thou hast inquired of me, thou hast received instruction of my spirit. And it goes on and talks about enlightening the mind and how just so many wonderful things that it's just powerful. In verse 9a, behold, speaking to Oliver, and this section was given to Oliver, but we know what applies unto one applies unto all, doesn't it? Behold, thou art Oliver, and I have spoken unto thee because of thy desires. Think of that word. Is God speaking unto you because of your desires? I believe he does. Treasure up these words in thy heart. That's just not a facade. It's actually assimilating it, allowing Christ to reign in your life, in your life in his, of course. Be faithful and diligent in keeping the commandments of God, and I will encircle thee in the arms of my love. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Any comments, brothers and sisters? Yes, Brother Ron? Do we have the portable mic? I guess. Well, this is being recorded, so here it comes. Yeah. Well, I think you can certainly tie them together, can't we? The greatest gift of God is love, and the greatest gift of God is obviously, as it's pointed out here, there is no greater gift. Any other comments? Okay, Brother Mike.
Gives us the gift of Jesus Christ because he loves us. And so all of those things are the greatest gift of God because they're all born of that love. And Jesus Christ is simply the personification of that love.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Any other comments? Anytime you have the feel the promptings to say something, why, just raise your hand and we'll stop. The words of Helaman to his sons. You know, I believe the Book of Mormon is, you know, when people find out you really, in the Christian world, and it's going to happen, you're going to find out the rich treasure of the Book of Mormon, there's going to be a vast gathering of people. There really is. And Helaman here, the second chapter, beginning with the 70th verse, and now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you, which desire is that you may do these things, that you may boast, but that you may do these things, that you may not do these things, that you may boast, but that you may do these things to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, yea, which is eternal, and which fadeth not away, yea, that you may have that precious gift of eternal life, which if we have reason to suppose hath been given to our fathers. O remember, my sons, the words of King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. This is a, you know, Helaman, you know, has such a love for his sons, and he didn't hold back any of that treasure at all. He wanted his sons to receive all of that, and we know the response was tremendous. And then from section 10, build upon my rock, which is my gospel. Deny not the spirit of revelation, nor the spirit of prophecy, for woe unto him that denieth these things. Therefore treasure up in your hearts until the time which is in my wisdom that you shall go forth. Behold, I speak unto all who have good desires and have thrust in their sickles to reap. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the life and the light of the world. I am the same who came into my own, and my own received me not. It's so important, you know, so many times people are brought into the church, into the kingdom, and there's no follow-up ministry with them. A number of years ago, we lived down in Washington, I had an experience about, the Lord gave me an experience about Family Steps to Zion, that I started analyzing some of the branches that were in our area, and I realized that the branches where the priesthood, the Aaronic ministry particularly, were active in bringing ministry in the home, that the branch was growing, was active, the statement filers, all of the things were, there was much greater. But where the branches, where there was no visiting going on, the branches began to deteriorate. And the Lord brought this to me about the Family Steps to Zion. And when we moved to Independence, when I became pastor of Enoch Hill, we implemented that program. And we had a priest quorum there at Enoch Hill that in 1979 that we met for a year, and early every Sunday morning. And the Aaronic priest put the family steps together when they were supposed to, the first six steps were the six principles of the gospel. And there were several steps were written after that too. But I want to tell you what happened. And we had one of the things that the Lord wanted us to do was to have the congregation. And the Aaronic ministry asked me if I would make the presentation, so I did. And we had filled out visitation cards. That's what we had done. Do you remember that, Eric? That's right, you were. My kids used to babysit him, so, you know. But anyway, we had cards that they would enroll in the Family Steps to Zion. But three things had to take place. The Lord, first of all, the pastorate had to be in agreement with the program. The priesthood had to be in agreement with the program. Then it was presented to the congregation, and they had to be in agreement. And that was the third step. We had already gone through with the pastorate and with the priesthood, and they all it was unanimous, all every part of it. And so we handed out these cards after we explained the program. And what happened was that, and of course, Enoch Hill at that time was close to over 1,000 members were there. We had 175 priesthood in the branch. And we had 125 families that filled out cards. So the Aaronic ministry, and I went out with one of the priests, and several of the elders went out too, but we met on Tuesday night, and I went out into the homes. And I maybe, Terry, I don't know if, I think we went into your parents' homes also, I believe. But anyway, what happened, we were supposed to visit 6 weeks in a row with the six principals, and then to visit once a month thereafter. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I will never forget it, because of the Aaronic ministry, and I never can remember this number for sure, but it was either 72 or 92 baptisms that we had in that congregation that year. And it was all basically because of the Aaronic ministry. People were inviting friends. The elders were busy in cottage meeting work. And, you know, it's something that we need to get into the homes of the saints and to share the gospel. I shared this with Eric the other day when we started Living Hope. One of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to not rob other branches. And so we started calling inactive people. And I'll never forget, and I have her permission to say it, Eva Cartwright. Some of you know Eva. She was not active at the time. And I called her and I invited her to come. And she started weeping over the phone. She said, "Jack, I thought no one cared anymore. I didn't think anybody cared anymore." And of course, she's remained active for these last 8 years since the branch started. But you know, we need to get that rich treasure into the hearts of the people and into their homes. Then in section 11, the bottom of that third page there, "Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul." Notice that's a statement. "May he treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Those who desire to reap, go to work and get rid of the weeds or the sin that keeps us from reaping." You know, raised on a farm. How many of you were raised on farms? Good. Okay. It's all right if you were raised in the city. You know what weeds are, right? Okay. But you know, we were definitely an organic farmers. We didn't realize it. But we pulled all the weeds. And we had a large garden, you know, with 10 children in the family. Can you believe this? My mother told us, we didn't realize at the time because we were helping doing this, but she canned over 1,200 quarts of stuff every year. Of course, with a family of a total of 12, you have a lot of mouths to feed. But, you know, the thing is that the reason why the corn grew, the reason why the carrots grew, and all the other vegetables grew is because the weeds, you know, they'll grow with the weeds there, but they will not be the mature and finished plant that you'll find when the weeds are gone. And of course, they have to be watered. Not the weeds now, I mean the good stuff. And they'll grow. And so part of the rich treasure that we can give to people, you know, so that the kingdom, they'll recognize it'll be theirs forever, is that we need to be watering too, don't we? We need to be watering. and helping people. In Matthew 6:21, at the bottom of that page 3 there, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And we know this to be true, don't we? Now, section 38. And by the way, is there any comments? Anyone have any comments you'd like to make? In section 38, starting with 6D, "I tell you these things because of your prayers." Think about that one. "I tell you these things because of your prayers, where treasure up wisdom in your bosoms, lest the wickedness of men reveal these things unto you," and so forth. Well, I'll probably should read the rest of it here. "By their wickedness in the manner that shall speak in your ears, which with a voice louder than that which shall shake the earth. But if you are prepared, you shall not fear. What has prepared them not to fear?" I believe it's their prayer life. It's their relationship with the King of Kings. "And that you might escape the power of the enemy and be gathered unto me a righteous people without spot or blemish." Section 43. "Treasure these things up in your hearts, and let the solemnities of eternity rest upon your minds." Treasure these things up in your hearts. You know, I think one of the, I don't know about you, but I know Lila and I, we just have to, after the news, we like to watch the news to keep up with what's going on in the world, so we're aware to share that, but we'd like to turn off the TV. And we like to read the scriptures and read, you know, different things together that will draw us closer to each other and to the Lord. And, you know, talk about solemnities. You know, when you are at peace, heaven can really rest on you. When our minds get so cluttered sometimes, don't they? With the affairs of the world, I mean, who could not be so sympathetic to those 5 police officers in Dallas and their families? Who could not feel so bad for the sniper? You know, just think of the hatred that he had to have in his heart, you know, to pray for him. These people that had never been raised to have any opportunity, to have any connection with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, they need to hear. How many of you knew George Gross? Remember Independence? He's 95 now or whatever he is, but George, a number of years ago, had an experience where he was taken to eternity before the judgment seat, and he heard this: "George, why didn't you tell me? George, why didn't you tell me? George, why didn't you tell me?" And it really bothered him that there were people that he was passing by that he should be sharing the gospel with. And that he knew that this is something that he could face if he didn't change his ways. And so sometimes George is pretty hard to get away from now. But that's all right, because he loves to tell the story. And, you know, we all need to know that. How would you like to be confronted by someone in the eternal world and say, "Tiffany, why didn't you share this with me? You have been my friend for years." You know, it's something we need to think about. It's about the rich treasure that we have. It needs to be shared. Section 83, verse 14d there, neither take ye thought beforehand what you shall say, but treasure up in your minds continually the words of life. Wow. And it shall be given you in the very hour that portion that you that shall be meted unto every man. Have any of you had experiences where you've met people and just felt led to share with them, tell them? Have any of you had any testimonies like that you would like to share with us? I'm sure you have. But anyway, think about it. If you have one that comes to your mind, why, somebody at work, somebody at school, whatever. In Nephi, 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, in the 61st through the 64th verse, but to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God. But woe unto the rich who are rich as to the things of the world. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And of course, we all are well aware of the rich young ruler, and there's scripture ahead here, a few pages ahead, that came to the Lord. And remember, he asked, what lack I yet? Have you ever asked the Lord that question? Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to do it. He'll reveal it to you. It doesn't mean that you may be surprised what he might tell you. I know that in my life, I've asked that question a few times. What lack I yet? Sometimes I've got an answer and sometimes I haven't. But most of the time the answer I get is, get off of your duff and get out there and tell people. You need to be out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I still like the Royals. I still like the Chiefs. But you know, they can certainly become an idol to us. They can take up our time. And, you know, I don't mind going into a home if this is, you've been there, maybe haven't been there before, and you know they're Chiefs fans or they're Royals fans, just to kind of have set a level playing field. We can talk about that, can't we? But pretty quick, you need to get around to the fact, well, no, how's you and the Lord doing? What's your prayer life like? You and your wife having things that you need to talk about? Or how are the kids doing? You know, there's several questions that you can ask. And, you know, I look at Ed over here and I think about the questions he has to ask when he pulls somebody over. You know, of course he's got to see their license and all that. But I imagine that through your training you've had to learn to adjust some of those questions, haven't you? Because just of the spirit of the moment. And we have to do the same thing. 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, verse 1, starting with verse 110. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And we know that we can get caught up, can't we, in the rich treasures. I marvel at, our closet for seven children, seven boys was about that wide. Now, I have a closet from almost, well, from here to Austin, and I've got clothes in there that fills that whole closet. I don't wear those clothes probably once a year, some of them, you know. But you know what I mean? We can get caught up in so much into the things of the treasure of this world. And I look at my wife's shoes. Oh, she isn't here, so I better not say anything. Her number of shoes that she has, you know. But, you know, that's her stewardship, right? But, you know, when we go into the Philippines and you see the people there that have maybe a 2x4 frame home with just cardboard, keeping the wind and the rain out of their home, you think about how blessed this country is. But you know, those people were so humble and so ready to receive the gospel. And I'm just amazed. I'll never forget when we were baptizing in the Pacific Ocean. There were children all around us. And, you know, I baptized somebody, if you believe it, that's older than I am. Yeah, Victoria. And she came to me to be baptized. She was crying. And she came up out of that warm water. What do you think her first move was? She threw her arms around me. I'll never forget. And I understand her whole family now have been baptized. She shared what she knew. And when we were confirming or when we were administering to people, the little children would come up and they'd take my hand and go like this. They wanted to receive a blessing too. The little ones. So sometimes the poverty of this world is the thing that will draw you to Christ. It can be a rich treasure. When we were out of money, we had like $20 to our name. Our fourth child was on the way. The 70 came to our home out in Washington for a 2-week series. Bob Slazer. I met him in the driveway. But before I met him in the driveway, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Give Bob $20. I said, "Well, Lord, you know that's all I got. And you know, my Lois is expecting a child." He said, "Give Bob $10. Excuse me. Give him $10. That's what I had, $10. And so, anyway, when Bob pulled in, when I talked to him, we visited for a while and so forth. And this is before the traveling full-time ministry were getting some salaries and so forth. They were just totally depending on the saints. And I said, "Bob, I want to give you $10. He said, "You can't afford to do that." He said, "You've got your children, you got one on the way." He said the same thing I said to the Lord. And I said, "Well, I can't afford not to give it to you." He said, "Because the Lord said to give you $10. That man broke down and wept. He turned the key to his car on, and there was less than a quarter of a tank of gas, and he didn't have any money. You know what I got in the mail next week? I got $20 from a man that I had given or loaned money to or whatever some time back, and he remembered to send me the money." So the Lord always repays. He knows where our treasure is. in the bottom of page 4 there, 1 Timothy 6 and 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. But they that be rich fall, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money and so forth is the root of all evil and so forth. But the reason why I wanted to have that scripture in there is because we really need to be careful of how we choose our words. And we have a scripture coming up here. Oh, let's see, where is it? The bottom of page 5. Bottom of page 5. From Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And it goes on, let all bitterness and so forth. The last verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But, you know, I don't know how many of you have the book. I forgot her name of the author right now. What's on your mind? Oh, what's her name? But anyway, a tremendous book for anyone to read, particularly priesthood, because she starts out by sharing, would you be willing to share on a motion picture screen the things that you have thought about the past few days? Would you be willing to show everyone what you've thought about the past few days? And of course, we know that most of us would not want to show that on the screen, would we? So everybody could see. But the thing that she pointed out in her book is the fact that how God will help us in this rich treasure to control our thoughts, control our actions. And I never forget, after I was reading that book, and someone brought it up in a testimony here the other morning about getting angry at cars, you know, when they cut you off and so forth. You want to go up and cut them off. Forgot who that was now. But anyway, the point being, that happened to me on the way to work after reading that book. And boy, the person just cut right in front of me and just almost hit my front bumper. And you know, the first thing normally what I would have to say, Our Father who art in heaven, you know. No, but the first thing that came to my mind was to pray for that individual. You know, because what happens in situations like that can actually change the course of your thoughts in your day. And that's only the natural man that's going to do that. But if you will remember to pray and turn and give it to God, it can change your whole day. And Matthew, it'd be let's go to the 1 Timothy 4:6, that's the second scripture in the top of page 5. If thou put thy brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. As you read this scripture, I don't know if you've noticed, but it says, nourish up the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. In other words, you've received some before. You've attained this before, but now continue to nourish that. Continue to nourish that. And we're going to... anybody have any comments? Excuse me. Any comments? How do you nourish your good treasure? How do you keep your treasure alive in your life? Yes, we've got two people here. Let's go ladies first, okay?
By living and practicing it.
Say that again.
By living and practicing it.
Let's say that together. By living and practicing it. Thank you. Okay, Brother Ed?
Along the same lines, being active, many times we want to take a break. And I had a testimony. This wasn't what I was going to share, but it just came to me. I was at a point where we were visiting a lot of houses with a brother, Bill Campbell, and I, and I was pretty young and gospel as I still am, but I just wanted to take a break. I said, I can pick this up later. And out of the blue, I'm thinking this as we're driving down Truman Road, coming back from a visit, and he said, from God is marshaling his army, he says, you know, there's no furloughs granted in the army of the Lord. And just out of the blue, he didn't know I was thinking it or anything, but to me it was a testament that there is no break. This is a lifelong mission. But the point I was really wanting to make was that by practicing, I look at King David, and when he faltered, he stayed back, and he wasn't out on the front lines fighting for the truth for his people. And he found himself with idle hands and fell into sin. And the longer we stay out of the fray, we stay out of the work, the more temptation there is not to be engaged and to do things that we ought not to.
Thank you. Anyone else? But even if we do fall back, like the prodigal son, who ran to who? Did the son run to the father, or did the father run to the son? The father ran to the son. The father ran to the son. My son, who I thought was dead, is alive. And he killed a fatted calf. And Jesus, he'll run to you too. Just because you make a mistake, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so just because you make a mistake does not mean that God has forsaken you. Don't you never think that, because he's not forsaken you. He'll always be with you. Matthew 12:29. And Jesus said, O ye generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And again, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And we know that how important it is that we, you know, if the more you study the scriptures, people, you know, they sound more like scripture when they're talking, don't they? The more you study the scriptures, because they're talking more like the scriptures too. I think that's important. And we're going to close with this one. I hear a little rumble, and we don't want you to walk through the rain to the other side here. But in Matthew 24:35, just wanted to see the highlighted portion there. And whoso treasures up my words shall not be deceived. Whoso treasures up my words shall not be deceived. So, brothers and sisters, let's continue. You know, the way the words are going to really mean more and more to you is the fact not only as you study them, as you nourish them, but what they're going to mean more to you as you put them into action, like our sister has said, and live them and get out there and actually share with people. Again, you sisters, remember how we used to have the friendly visiting for the women's department? Wasn't that what they called it? Not friendly visiting, but it's, I can't remember now, where they'd go, the women would go visit other women and so forth. And well, that's what happens when you get over 21. You don't remember all these things. But it was a tremendous, tremendous program the church had going. And the sisters visiting other sisters, young mother teaching younger mothers and so forth, older mothers teaching younger mothers. And it was really an excellent program. So, Justin, would you mind offering a closing prayer here for us? And you wouldn't mind using the microphone here.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for this time which we have to be here to learn under our brother and for his many experiences. And as you have brought the Word of God forth and shown unto him many great things, Lord, we thank you for these experiences and for his testimonies. And Lord, for the inspiration that we feel to go forth and to share thy word and to not be silent, to not pass an opportunity by, Lord. And I pray a blessing upon this group that we might indeed seek out those opportunities. We might look for those people and find those people, Lord, who are in need and be mindful of them. For we know there are many out there, Lord, who desire to hear thy truth. So we pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct us in this endeavor, that we might bring honor and glory unto thy name and people to you, that they might gain salvation. And so to this end, we are so thankful, Lord, and we praise your holy name, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.